The Conversation on BBC Radio Kent with Dominic King.
Hello, good evening. Good to have your company on the programme. The conversation tonight is with author and blogger Miriam McGurk and communications coach Chris Pollard. Good to see you both here at BBC Radio Kent again. Hello.
Hello, Dom. Great to be back.
Good evening, Dom. It's a privilege to be back.
Ah, now you two have been away for a little while. Home in Kent is Maidstone, but actually home abroad is in Turkey. And I often think about southwest Turkey and the months you spend there in the sunshine, writing books, just having a moment of peace. Oh, I'm there on the mountaintop with you tonight. How was it, Chris?
It was cathartic, I think is the word. We needed the 3 months together. A lot had been going on personally, as well as health, and it allowed us to spend time talking to each other, planning what we're going to do with Miriam's marketing and career for her career over the next 18 months, for me to work on a new project that had been presented to me about 3 to 4 weeks before we went over, and also to get my health back in order. It had been very up and down for a couple of years, and after being ill for 6 weeks through April and May, that was it. I decided. So I've got myself healthy. I've been doing a lot of walking with the dogs, and according to my wife Miriam, I'm now ripped.
There you go, you're ripped. Fantastic, good to hear. And Miriam, for you, I'm writing the next book.
That's right, Dom. I really needed that time and space to gather my thoughts, to actually set the foundation, to set the structure. This is the first time I have ever written a novel. So it was a really different path and route for me to take. But I really felt that in moving forward, this is what I needed to do.
What can you tell us about Days on Our Street?
Well, the inspiration initially came from walks I would take around my street, which is in Maidstone. And I spied this lady with long grey hair and glasses, and her dog also had long grey hair, no glasses. And on my morning walks, I saw this lady and I thought, oh my goodness. So it started with a short story, a very interesting short story. And actually yesterday, just back 10 days, I looked and she was on the route that I was walking, and I thought, my goodness, if you realise that you were the inspiration, my light bulb moment for writing my new novel, Days on Our Street. Quite incredible.
I often think of that for singer-songwriters as well, that they have a moment where they're just sort of looking out of a window or seeing, you know, in a cafe, having a cup of tea or coffee and just seeing people go past, and, oh, they'd be good for that. And you, I guess you have that as an author too.
That's right, very much so. That's why I'm a great people watcher an observer, but also being away from everything, being up the mountain, 2,000 feet up the mountain, all I can hear is birdsong. I was able to create and develop characters that I never even knew existed.
And because it's a first time for you as a novelist, a whole new chapter of your life.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I really wanted to have fun with this. And Dom, last year I started to tweak my profile, my author's profile, and who I was. And being Irish, we love to hear good stories.
You like a yarn.
We do. We love a good yarn, and we love to tell the stories as well. And that's what I did. I started to tell the stories. I always write and speak from the heart, but I really wanted to get in touch with that Irish humour and create characters that were very contrasting. For example, we have Colonel Bryce Beckworth, and we have Florence Scott Thomas, and then we have Molly Mulligan, and around the corner we have Rita Cornell, Mrs. Cornell, and all these characters have backstories, and one or two have secrets, and we actually end up in Hastings at various times.
So when will we expect to see it? Because how far are you right now?
Oh, Dom, I am two chapters and an epilogue short of the first draft being there, the core story, the core book being there. I've already started my edit, because obviously before it goes to the publisher, it has to be cleaned up and trimmed, as I call it, honed and toned. And it will probably go to the publisher and the creative team, I would say around the end of October.
Honed and Toned, so back to Chris.
That's me.
So your job as a communications coach, I mean, through the last year or so, you've been working with a number of different groups and organisations, and it's a big push for you this year, isn't it, to do more of that work? And it actually comes from a whole number of years in the business world and wanting to put some of the stuff that probably caused a nightmare for you in past jobs that you thought, why are they doing it like that? Can we come up with a different way?
Yes, that's true. I think I started to realise and appreciate the importance of communication really only in the last couple of years. I've watched people at meetings. I've listened to them, how they speak to us. Nowadays in business, it is so important to be able to talk about your business clearly. But the important point is that you ask questions. Ask questions to the person that you're talking to first. And then, if they're interested, then talk about your business. But it's also engagement, communication is also the written word. And as we know, social media now is crucial in our daily lives. And it is important to be able to communicate via with the correct written words, hashtags, everything.
But it was really interesting hearing, just before you guys came on, hearing Peter Snow and his wife Anne talk about how, you know, social media is great, but also what it does is it means that there are so many messages. How do we see through all of the hundreds of messages that are there to have a very clear and concise way of life and a clarity in life with so many messages? And as Donald Trump calls it, and as Peter Snow reminded us, fake news.
Fake news. Noise. There is so much noise around our daily lives now. And it is, I've taught myself to step back. You need to concentrate on certain aspects. What is it you want the message? What is the message you want to put out? And what are the messages that you want to see? And then you engage from there. That's my rule every day. I go in, I look at my social media, I look at what other people are talking about. I look at what is, I feel, relevant to me and relevant to my followers as well. And I will share it. I will retweet it. I will comment. It's about engagement. It's so simple in life, engagement. But you have to be able to step back.
What's really interesting to me, though, as well, is that, it's a show of husband and wives tonight on BBC Radio, Ken. Miriam, as much as Chris is very into the social media, his job, working that communications field, the branding and all the rest, you actually, how much do you embrace that world? I know you are definitely in terms of what you're doing, but actually you're a person who writes and would like to go to, I know I've been with both of you down at Dungeness, you know, you would happily just wander there for hours taking it all in. Correct. How do those two worlds come together for the modern author?
Well, one of the things that I had to learn very quickly when I published my first book 4 years ago in Jumping on the Saddle, if you want to raise your profile, get your name out there, books don't just suddenly magically fly off the shelves. Social media is a huge part of that. So I had to learn very, very quickly. And I am very discerning, but I started to learn, not jumping all over the place and jumping on every platform. I started to look at what platforms worked for me. And that's how it started. And I started about 5 years ago. And I was already a blogger, Dom. And so how do I get my blogs out with my website? But then how do I promote it? It's through, as I say, social media. So I started with Twitter, with Facebook actually, but Twitter is my number one. And then more recently, I've moved over to Instagram. And LinkedIn is always there, but it's very, very different. And I post daily, and I am really conscious of what I'm writing, who I'm writing to, and what the value of what I'm writing.
It's BBC Radio Kent. This is The Conversation tonight with author and blogger Miriam McGirt, communications coach Chris Pollard, and a bunch of volivants. Now, do you remember that we, on this show, now I'm trying to remember, Adam was with me, who's producing tonight. Adam, was it earlier this week we did volivants to start with? I've lost track. It was, wasn't it? Yeah. So earlier this week, I made a whole pledge on this show about volivants, and Pam in New Romney was wonderful and made a whole bunch of volivants for me, and I'm completely stunned tonight. tonight here in the studio by the fact that Chris and Miriam have brought in a tray of vol-au-vents to the sea. I mean, this is it. I am in heaven. I might as well just give up. This might be the last show I ever do on BBC Radio Kent. This might be it. I peaked. Honestly, I don't want to trouble anyone, but maybe this is it, the vol-au-vent show. Well, we go out on a big one.
At least you've got something to eat on the way home.
Exactly. Dom, what I was actually going to mention was that if you enjoy them, I got up and dawn to make them, to make that pastry and roll it out,
yes,
just like they do on the bake-off.
And?
And if you don't like them, it was Chris' first attempt.
My first attempt.
Chris, your first attempt at vol-au-vents.
Yes.
And they look perfect to me, if I'm honest with you, mate. They're the right size. You've got the size, because sometimes vol-au-vents can be too big, and vol-au-vents need to be just right. Now, I don't want to go on about this because we never do when we're all together. It's like friends here having a chat, isn't it? But actually, Miriam used to work in the restaurant industry, and I just wonder whether my wife will love that mention. I just wonder, Miriam, whether if you look at those vol-au-vents, if you think they are the exact size and nature of what they should be, and the filling is right in there as well.
I think the filling could do with a little more filling. On a positive note, they are crisp. There's no soggy bottoms. But I do think they needed a little bit more garnish.
Oh,
Miriam, allow me to give you the Paul Hollywood handshake.
There we go. Beautiful. It's BBC Radio Kent at Drive. Now, just some of the topics that have come up today, which is really interesting in the 5 minutes we've got remaining. It goes so quick on this show. What are you scared of? Stephen King celebrating his 70th birthday today. We've been asking those listening to the show throughout about what really scares them. We've had some really interesting ones from people getting on tube trains and not having a great experience in the past, so didn't want to go back on there again. We've heard people talk about, you know, just being scared of the everyday things in life, you know, meeting people, being in big crowds. Someone met Stephen King twice, which I think would be pretty scary. I think that's pretty scary.
Sarah,
but what about you both?
For me, Dom, it was 5 years ago. I was up the mountain on my own, Sunday afternoon. 3 weeks before, I could feel these tremors, but I didn't know what they were, these jangles, these tremors. Sitting up in bed, 3 o'clock, as I do every day and rest, and suddenly it was like the floorboards were pushing up and the walls were pulling in and pulling me with them. And I actually thought the house was going to lift up and take me away with the pressure. It was so scary. And I was on my own. I had never been in this situation before. I literally could not move. I sat up in bed for, I don't know, it felt like a very long time. The noise, it was like being hoovered every which way, or being in that last cycle, you know, that spin cycle of a washing machine. It was incredible.
And you'd only know if you had that experience. What about you, Chris?
Well, interestingly enough, I arrived about 4 days later, and I was downstairs in Miriam's office, and I was sitting there mid-afternoon, and we got an aftershock. It's only about 7 or 8 seconds. It is scary. It just rattles everything. And my balance was out for 24 hours. What scares me? Well, I was thinking about this, probably quite a common one, which is needles, until about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Over in Turkey, I had to have some extensive dental treatment, which had been planned, and I probably had, well, not as many injections as you, but I probably had about 15 injections over a period of about 4 weeks. I was nervous the first day, but do you know, after about 3 weeks, going in and out, I got used to them, and it didn't worry me, a needle going in the gum. And it doesn't, the thought of it now does not frighten me at all.
Well, so you've overcome your fear.
I have.
Mel Brooks on the show, he wasn't here, sadly, he might be one day, said that political correctness has ruined comedy movies because you need, sometimes you need to be offensive, but because it's funny. What do you think about this? Is PC okay? Have we gone overboard? Can being offensive ever be funny? Miriam.
I think in this day and age, I think there are certain comedians and directors and scriptwriters, and I think they sail too close to the wind and perhaps too close to the edge. I don't think rudeness, I don't think, what's the word I'm looking for, Chris?
I'm not too sure.
Oh, I think you know. I wouldn't want it to become a nanny state in terms of the PC world.
But I think it has done.
We have to be. I think it's again about discernment. What is funny?
But Chris, do you think we have gone to PC to give that expression to Mel Brooks?
I suppose the world has changed, and things that were said, phrases and words that were used probably 40 years ago nowadays are too sensitive and they're not acceptable. Do I think it's gone too far? In some cases, yes. I think we've got too serious. I think we've got to start laughing at ourselves.
But if it offends someone because of their...
That's different. That's different. No, I wouldn't want it to offend someone.
But won't it always offend some... Okay, comedy. Won't comedy always offend someone? So say, for example, forget the idea of race. Forget the idea of, you know, what part of the world you come from. Just on the very basis of a comedian maybe doing something about class or mm-hmm. taking the mickey out of an Irish woman, say, who's mm-hmm. maybe opposite me, you know... If I was having a laugh with Miriam all the way through the show, for example, and was just sort of, you know, continually going on some sort of Irish thing, there'll be a point, Miriam, where you, well, apart from killing me, there'll be a point where you'd probably be quite annoyed and be like, God, will you stop now?
Yeah, and actually I might even call it comedic bullying, hey?
Oh, interesting phrase.
Comedic bullying.
There we go. That's a new one, and maybe actually that's what it is.
But it's also about, I think, in the eye of the reader and then the ear of the listener.
Perception.
Just a last word on International Gratitude Day, just to end. Any thoughts, Miriam, tonight about this day of gratitude? It's also World Peace Day as well.
Yes, it is. Firstly, I think we can start with gratitude. It starts within ourselves. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, this morning, if I may use a little quote of mine that I posted, today we can make peace and we can show gratitude. Firstly, by impacting it to ourselves inwardly, and that will create more well-being for us and for others.
The conversation tonight with author and blogger Miriam McGurk, communications coach Chris Pollard, here on BBC Radio Kent. It's 20-